This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A proposed constitutional amendment to revamp Ohio's redistricting process will be on the ballot this fall. The group Citizens Not Politicians turned in more than enough ballot signatures to place the measure on the November ballot. But Ohio Governor Mike DeWine and some other high-profile Republicans in the state are opposing the effort. Joining me now to talk about what this amendment would do and the opposition it's facing are retired Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor. Welcome back, Chief.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity. I really appreciate it.
Glad to have you here. And WVXU Senior Political Analyst Howard Wilkinson. Thanks for being here, Howard.
Thank you.
Chief, at the heart of all this is the issue of gerrymandering. You have a proposal to address that, but Ohio Governor Mike DeWine said if this issue passes in November, it, quote, will directly result in the worst gerrymandering we have ever seen, end quote. Start by telling us, what is gerrymandering and how would you argue we're seeing it in Ohio?
Well, it's just not my opinion, but groups like the Princeton Election Commission or Department, as well as the Brennan Center, as well as, you know, other think tanks involved with good government, has labeled Ohio as one of the 10 worst gerrymandered states in the country. And gerrymandering means basically drawing your district maps. And we have in Ohio district maps for our House of Representatives and our Senate, and also for the United States Congress. And drawing those districts in a way that it favors one political party over another. And the consequences of that are that there's a imbalance in representation, and it results in many individuals and many communities just not having a voice in who occupies those seats, and whomever occupies those seats, of course, are responsible for the policies and the laws and things that affect Ohio. I want to make really clear up front, this is not a one-party issue. In other words, it's not just a Democrat issue or a Republican issue. Both parties, when given the opportunity, have put their thumbs on the scale, so to speak, and taken advantage of gerrymandering.
Howard, how do voters feel about gerrymandering? What do you hear from people about that whole issue?
Well, I think it depends on where they live. I mean, if they live in one of these gerrymandered districts, they may be aware of it, they may not. You know, most voters are not paying that close of attention to it. But once they see those maps and they see the lengths to which the map makers have been going to, as the chief says, put their thumb on a scale, then it makes an impression on them.
Chief O'Connor, briefly explain what this proposal on the November ballot would do.
Well, we're going to get to what we have now. I'm going to explain briefly that, and I'm going to explain how it would change with the new amendment. Right now, those districts that I mentioned, those voting districts, both Congress and the General Assembly, Senate, and House of Representatives, are drawn by a commission that is embedded in the Constitution. There was amendments that were passed in 2015 and 2018, and they created this redistricting commission that is populated by politicians. By Constitution, you have the governor, the Secretary of State, the auditor, and leadership from both the majority party and the minority party in the House. That gives rise, those are seven members, and that gives rise to political considerations. And whenever districts are drawn by politicians, their reaction is, of course, they want to maintain or increase their political power over these, districts, these institutions, the legislature, and Congress. And so that's what we have now. And we have seen, as I've said, gerrymandered districts, which gives us that reputation of one of the 10 worst. And there's challenges to the maps that they have, brought. Groups, good government groups, have brought challenges. When I was on the court, obviously I left in December 31st of 2022. Before I left, there were seven contests with regards to, seven maps, and they were all deemed to be unconstitutional. The Redistricting Commission kept giving us one unconstitutional map after another when they were instructed, to give us a constitutional map, us meaning the Supreme Court. Okay, so that's what we have now. And what we will have with this new amendment is a redistricting commission, but that commission by constitutional amendment cannot be populated by politicians. And it can't be populated by lobbyists, and it can't be populated by the family members of those individuals or people who are involved in, politics, people who are active in politics. It'll be 15 ordinary citizens, five people who are registered as Democrats, five who are registered as Republicans, and five who are registered for neither major party. And those individuals will be the redistricting commission. And there's, all sorts of improvements embedded in this constitutional amendment with regards to transparency and public hearings and, taking account the demographics of Ohio and the geographical districts of differences in Ohio, et cetera. And, one of the best features in this new amendment is that everything will be totally transparent. Your listeners and you who may remember what happened in the previous iterations of map drawing was these maps were drawn behind closed doors. They were at one point the Senate president, whipped out a map and said, here's the map we're going to use. And the Democrats members hadn't even seen it yet. And yet they were expected to vote on it rather quickly. The public didn't know what it contained. With this amendment, everything will be live streamed. Everything will have the ability for people to attend and watch from the initial, organizational meetings to the interviews with the individuals who want to be a member of this 15-member redistricting commission. Hearings that will take place around the state, in the four quadrants and then the middle of the state, and then hearings or meetings once the maps are drawn so that the citizens can understand what those maps contain and voice their opinion on those. So additional, meetings with the public. Everything's going to be live streamed, even the work of the map makers. And I joke that people will fall asleep watching the map makers because it's not stimulating, activity, but it has to be. It has to be there for the public to see so that they have faith in what is being done on behalf of the people. What we're trying to do here is return the power to the people of Ohio and take it away from the politicians.
We got an email from Nicholas. Nicholas writes, this needs to be fixed. There needs to be an independent commission like New York has. Why isn't it happening? What is the GOP afraid of? This isn't fair at all. Howard, why do you think so many state Republican leaders are so strongly opposed to this? Nicholas characterizes it as fear.
Yeah, it is fear. I mean, there's no question about that. Now they control five of the seven seats on the redistricting commission. And as the chief pointed out, in 2022, they were able to just ram one plan after another. They're afraid of losing power. That is a fear, because they can no longer do that with a independent Citizens Commission in charge of this process.
We're talking about.
I'd like to, if I could add one thing to that, which was you nailed it. New York was mentioned, and New York had, and again, I want to emphasize this as a nonpartisan issue. Is New York map was drawn by the majority of the Democrats. Mm-hmm. that took part in this, and their map, this was year before last, was deemed to be unconstitutional by their Supreme Court. So it was sent back to the drawing board, you know, that sort of thing. But so that's illustrative of the what I just said, that it's not an R thing, it's not a D thing, it's a power thing.
Yeah. We do have a caller on the line. It is Dan. Hi, Dan. Thanks for calling. What's your question or your comment?
Thanks. I was wondering if this commission came to be, the information that they use, I wonder if that could be limited in such a way that they don't have access to, let's say, primary voting outcomes, which can down to a precinct tell you the strong Republican and strong Democratic parts of the state. And, like, if they're denied that information, wouldn't gerrymandering be much more difficult no matter who's doing it?
Interesting question. Thank you, Dan. Chief, is that something you all have thought of?
If I understand the question, it's under this current system, could the voting patterns be unavailable for scrutiny by the folks that are, you know, proffering maps?
I think what Dan is saying is, even if the new constitutional amendment passes, could information be withheld, making it difficult to draw maps that aren't gerrymandered?
Well, the new commission, you know, that will not be relying on political. In fact, the new amendment says you can't rely on, you know, political considerations to draw a map. There's a criteria that has to be taken into consideration, of course, but it's not to favor or disfavor one party over another. That's just not, you're not going to be able to take that into consideration. You know, the goal, the ideal, is that we have competitive districts that give the voters a choice, that we have competition in the primaries. Right now, we have, you know, the districts. If you file for your primary in many of the districts, you will not have primary competition. It will be one party that, you know, puts a candidate up, and that person will have no opposition in the general election. And so whoever files in the primary will become the candidate and will become the member of the House, the Senate, or, you know, in November. And that's the problem in a nutshell, you know, those type of districts. And the goal would be, let's have competition. Let's have a choice for the voters. And let's, I should have mentioned, you know, at the very get-go, one of the goals of gerrymandering is to create a supermajority. And we have a supermajority right now in the House and the Senate. And to quote the Senate president, when an interview was done with him after, you know, the elections and the supermajority is solidified, is we can pretty much do whatever we want. And I, you know, use that example of what I think is the antithesis of governance, that you're not there as a member of the legislature to do whatever you want, even if you have the majority members of your party to do whatever you want. You're there to do the will of the people. And that, in a nutshell, is why we have to break the back of gerrymandering.
Did you want to weigh in, Howard?
Well, yeah, the chief's exactly right. And, you know, when you talk about a supermajority, you were talking about a veto-proof supermajority. And that's what gives it the power to do whatever it wants. And that's not a partisan consideration. That could be Democrats in New York or Republicans in Ohio. No one party should have that much power. And no matter who's sitting in the governor's office.
We're talking about a constitutional amendment on the November ballot to overhaul Ohio's redistricting process. We're going to continue that conversation after a short break. And later in the program, we'll discuss this question. If birth control is free by law in the U.S., why are so many women paying for it? This is Cincinnati Edition. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about a constitutional amendment on the November ballot to overhaul Ohio's redistricting process. My guests are retired Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor and WVXU Senior Political Analyst Howard Wilkinson. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Chief, before the break, you talked about how the Ohio Supreme Court rejected maps that the Ohio Redistricting Commission had put together seven different times, ruling them unconstitutional. You couldn't run for re-election to the court because of age restrictions. You quickly turned your attention to this group, Citizens Not Politicians, and its efforts. What do you think this constitutional amendment's chances are in November?
Well, based on some really reliable indicators, I think the chance of this passing in November is very, very good. And what are the reliable indicators that I'm talking about? Well, in order for citizens, and I'm going to say that this is a citizen initiative. Ohio is one of the very fortunate states in this country that has the ability for its citizens to come together, create an amendment to the Constitution, and then put that before the voters. Not all states have that ability to do that. I think there's only about 18 or so states in the country that can do that. We have that ability since 1912, and we're very, very fortunate. So we have the Citizens Initiative, and in order to get on the ballot, citizens just don't create an initiative, create an amendment and say, okay, put this on the ballot. You have to get support from the people of Ohio, registered voters in Ohio, to say, yeah, let's put this on the ballot and let's all vote on it. So we were tasked, the Citizens Not Politicians, tasked with the responsibility of getting about 414,000 valid signatures from registered voters, because that is just based on the formula, that's what it would need. So we turned in 731,000 signatures that were gathered. All right, it's considerably more than the 414,000. And when they were
I think you broke up there just a little bit. I'm going to take this opportunity to jump in and ask you, Howard, what do you think the chances are of this, of passage of this constitutional
amendment? Reviewed by the Secretary of State and the Boards of Elections. They were over.
Okay. I'm sorry. We're having some trouble with the Chief's audio. So, Howard, you want to jump in?
Yeah. I don't know what the polling says. And I do, you know, the Chief is right. There were, you know, clearly a very large number of Ohioans who are willing to sign these petitions. I judge by the reaction, and the reaction from Republicans in Ohio has been, as I said earlier, one of fear. And you heard this yesterday from the Republican governor, Mike DeWine, who held a press conference where he was, you know, calling this plan the worst possible thing that, you know, the mind of mankind has ever conceived, and threatening to, you know, next January replace it with something else. And when I hear that kind of reaction, my political antenna go up, and I see it as they're absolutely scared to death that this thing is going to pass.
You know, you mentioned this, Howard. Governor DeWine said just earlier this week he wants lawmakers to approve a proposal similar to the way Iowa handles redistricting. Mm-hmm. How easy would it be for state lawmakers to create a whole different redistricting system if this issue does pass in November?
Well, the legislature can always replace it by itself. You know, that's the supermajority problem. If they come back in January and say, okay, well, will the people, we don't care, we're going to do it this way, they could pass something and, you know, make it law, make it part of the Constitution. But the plan, the Iowa plan that DeWine talks about, ultimately would still leave the final decision on map making in the hands of the legislature. You know, an independent type commission would file maps, and if the legislature rejects three of them, legislature is free to do whatever it wants. So the control would still be in the hands of elected officials.
And that seems pretty purposeful, it sounds like, if that's what the governor is saying. And I think a number...
It's very purposeful.
Yeah. A number of other high-profile lawmakers, I'm thinking of Senate President Matt Huffman, mm-hmm. he has said repeated... Okay. Oh, are you back with
I'm sorry.
Chief?
Yeah, I switched over to my phone rather than my laptop. But if this passes, it's a constitutional amendment. The legislature cannot repeal a constitutional amendment without... putting another ballot issue on the for the voters to vote on, so they can't. You know, it's not as easy as Governor DeWine would represent yesterday. This will pass. I'm confident that the people of Ohio, see the wisdom in this. It will pass, and in order for it to be dismantled. The governor would have to have the legislature put an amendment on the ballot to repeal what they just will do this November and then substitute something else. If there's no appetite for that, the governor says, okay, then I'm going to start a citizens initiative and undermine what the voters will be doing this November. Any way you look at it, it's a total disrespect for the will of the people, which is indicative of the operation of our Ohio government right now. I'm not going to rehash, the elections of last August or the past November, but I think the numbers there overwhelmingly tell you that our political leadership, our legislative leadership, our gubernatorial leadership, et cetera, out of touch with what Ohioans want to see in their state.
Okay, before you say that, Howard, I want to say we are live with retired Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor and WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. We were in NPR coverage for a few minutes there, but we're back live now. You can hear our entire show re-airing tonight at 8 p.m. Howard, go ahead.
Yeah, one point the chief made, the legislature could come back and put something on the ballot as an alternative. DeWine could put... start a petition drive and put something on the ballot next year. Please explain to me why, if Citizens Not Politicians passes in this November, that the voters of Ohio would go back next year and say, oh, we made a mistake. This is a better plan. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. It just is not going to happen. They're just flailing away at, and trying to defeat this ballot issue.
Chief, what are
I agree, Howard. I think you're right on that. You know, there comes a time you just trust the wisdom of the voters. That's democracy.
Chief, what are the next steps with this whole thing?
Well, there'll be a campaign waged from now until November to get the word out to voters in Ohio. There are going to be encouragement to register voters, certainly encouragement to get to the polls. And we're not the only thing on the ballot that is going to be, driving people to the polls, of course. We have a presidential, we have a senatorial, et cetera. But we're right up there. We're the only issue that's going to be on the ballot. And it's an issue that I think has credibility, has appeal. And we are going to wage a full campaign to be an informational campaign. It's not an attack campaign. It's not going to be, personal or it is about information sharing. And when the voters of Ohio listen to the message, they're going to see the wisdom. And I know that because of the conversations I've had over the last year and a half with people.
One more quick question for you, Howard. How complicated do you think it will be to explain this to voters? Chief just said it'll be an informational campaign. They've been talking to voters a lot already to gather these signatures. But how tough a battle do you think that'll be?
Well, these issues always take explanation. But I think you can break it down into pieces that people understand. They understand the idea of citizens, not politicians. It's all in those three name or three words, and you can explain the nuts and bolts of the thing, but the answer to your question is in the name of the organization, Citizens Not Politicians. Very simple.
Well, I've been talking with retired Ohio Supreme Court Chief Justice Maureen O'Connor and WVXU senior political analyst Howard Wilkinson. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Lucy. Thank you, Howard. It's been an honor.
Thank you.
Up next, contraception is free in the U.S. under federal law, so why are so many women paying for it? We'll talk about it when Cincinnati Edition continues.